Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. This is probably our biggest, I would say, in stature and in reputation, our biggest guest that we have had so far. He is hilarious. He is the perfect guest for this week. Carlos Boozer is coming up. So stay tuned for that, guys. He was awesome. Right, Mac?
Kelly, there's no doubt he was. But before we get into that, guys, nothing beats the taste of food cooked over wood. It's a fact. Traeger Grills has revolutionized outdoor cooking, and it starts by using a controlled convection heating system so that you can literally cook anything on it. It's so simple to use. I just set the temperature on my app. I set the time. I walk away, go play basketball, go watch the game, do whatever you got to do. Let the Traeger do all the hard work for you. And that sounds like the best part, Kelly, but this is actually the best part. The Traeger never gets to your food too smoky, too dry, or too charred, like, you know, in times past when I was cooking on a gas grill or a charcoal grill, that could happen. Whatever I am grilling, it always comes out perfectly. The possibilities are endless, and I promise you guys, every time you use a Traeger, you're going to feel like a barbecue pro. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around their site, you've selected your pellet grill of your absolute dreams, use our code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order.
Free shipping. Do it now, y'all. ACC Sports. We love our friends over at Traeger. And I can't wait to see what you grill up this weekend for the Super Bowl, Mac. You got to be doing something.
You know, we are taking the show on the road, but I'm going to get after the grill before the big game. They're actually wanting to do this really big push. So, guys, get ready to see some fun stuff on my social media.
Oh, man. The tease of the century. All right, y'all, if you are a basketball fan and you don't know about Carlos Boozer, then you probably aren't a basketball fan. Gotta be honest. A member of Duke's 2001 national championship team, Boozer led the Blue Devils to a 95-13 record during his three seasons in Durham from 99 to 02. He holds the Duke career record for highest field goal percentage, 63% from the floor, making 554 of 878 attempts from the field. That's crazy, which also ranks third on the ACC's all-time list. Boozer was drafted 35th overall by the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 2002 NBA draft and played in the league for 13 years.
Guys, there's no question Booz has done it all. He's enjoyed a decorated career in the NBA, was named to the All-Star team in 2007 and 2008. He played for the Cavs, the Jazz, the Bulls, and the Lakers. Booz also played in two U.S. Olympic teams, earning the bronze medal in 2004, and then on the redeem team in 2008, they won gold. He's definitely our first Olympic gold medalist yes. on this pod. Boos actually joined the ACC network along with all of this in our inaugural season 2019. He's a studio analyst on Nothing But Net, the ACC network's signature basketball show. You guys can watch that every Sunday throughout the college basketball season.
Boos, he's got a heck of a resume. He's also one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So let's get to our interview with Carlos Boozer.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
Booze.
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
What is good, up, man?
Sorry, man. I was finishing up a haircut and it just took a little. It doesn't sound like I got a lot of hair, but it took me a little bit longer to finish me up.
Booze, nah, all doing? Good. Thank you're you so much guys. For joining us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
We appreciate it. So, wait, you're wearing a jacket. Where are you at?
Oh, I'm in Atlanta right now. I got a, I just moved into a townhome. I got a townhome out here, like a second home.
Nice. So
I'm just throwing a jacket. I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
You're wearing your Duke blue.
Yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, let's talk about it, man. Cause this is Duke Carolina week. We all love it as sports fans. I know they recently have dropped some games, but it doesn't even matter. Cause it's the best rivalry in college sports. Do you agree when I say that? And if you do, what makes it the best rivalry?
Yeah, it is the best rivalry. I mean, the tradition is what makes it the best rivalry. You know, when I was a kid and I'm watching Grant Hill and Christian Laettner and Bobby Hurley and Vince Carter and Rasheed Wallace and Jerry Stackhouse and all these great players, Michael Jordan, that came from both of these schools competing against each other, it made me want to be a part of something greater than myself. And what's greater than two schools that are literally down the street from each other? They got some of the best basketball players to ever play the game. Then you got some of the best coaches to ever coach the game. And they're competing in a, you know, twice in a regular season and obviously competing for championships collegiately and in the ACC and the conference. But that's what makes it so great. You got so many great players that went to both schools. You got so many legendary coaches, you know, obviously with Dean Smith and the list goes on there, and then having Coach K there for so long. I feel like it's one of those things that if you're a basketball fan or even just a fan of sports in general, you got to witness it one time in your life. Now, this may not be the time.
This isn't the year.
There's no fans right now. When the fans come back, it's something you got to witness at least once.
I love that, Booze. And I'm kind of reflecting a little bit on my time back at Cameron Indoor. We were all hanging out there last year in the fall and just seeing it up close and personal. And that, I mean, that was a teeny game or a teeny opponent, at least. I can't imagine what it's like when Carolina comes to town. Before we dive into to really your time at Duke, I want to talk about beforehand. I mean, man, you grew up in Alaska. What was it like growing up over there? And then how did you end up at Duke? I mean, were you like dunking on penguins in Alaska? What are you doing over there, man?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was from D.C., Washington, D.C. My whole family's from D.C. And when I was nine, we moved from D.C. to Alaska, where my aunt lived, in Juneau, Alaska. And it just is beautiful. But honestly, I went from like an inner city, which all I knew was like the concrete jungle, to going to a place that everybody goes fishing, hiking, hunting, skiing, snowboarding. Like, it's an outdoors kind of place. And so that really opened up my mind to that there's so much more to life, number one. And then number two, it's a small town. So, you know, everybody kind of knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody's dog's name. That's how small of a town I grew up in. So for me, it was the perfect environment to kind of grow. I fell in love with basketball. My dad put the ball in my crib when I was like a baby, 1 year old or whatever. And I was watching him play. He taught me everything I knew as a kid. And then as I continued to grow and get better, I kept getting invited to all these camps down south, like all these camps in California. And I'm like in seventh grade. I don't even have enough money to go to California, first of all. And then somehow, you know, I got linked up with the AAU coach named Darren Matsubara. It was EBO, Elite Basketball Organization. And I didn't even know what AAU meant. And I'm in seventh grade. I'm like 13 years old or whatever age I am. And I went to my first tournament in Vegas. It was called the Big Time Tournament, put on by the Pump Brothers out of California. And I had a good game. I had like 12 points, maybe like 7 rebounds, a couple of assists, nothing crazy. And this guy comes up to my mom and dad and goes, yo, listen, I know your son's a junior. He's got some talent. I think we could probably, you know, get him a good scholarship somewhere. And my dad goes, a junior? My son's 13. He's in seventh grade. And the guy goes, what? He's in seventh grade? Oh, my God. But because my name is Carlos Austin Boozer Jr., I got my dad's name. Gotcha. I thought I was a junior in high school. And so that's kind of when I went viral. And the next thing I know, I got, you know, UCLA and Duke and all these different schools trying to recruit me. So
that is crazy.
That's insane. That's nuts. So what, I mean, what led to you? Yeah, right. 13, just dunking on people. What led to you ultimately choosing Duke?
Yeah, I mean, so honestly, Duke was one of those schools that came kind of late in my recruitment. You know, Quinn Snyder was still there before he went to Missouri. And obviously now on with the Utah Jazz. But he was recruiting me, and I was all of my entire AAU basketball team was from California. So all my teammates were going to UCLA. Jason Capono went to UCLA, Matt Barnes, Baron Davis. These guys were all my AAU teammates, and they all became UCLA Bruins. So I was kind of leaning that direction because I knew everybody. I knew, you know, I was going to get the ball when I went to college. I had a bunch of friends on my team since high school. And then I took my official visit to Duke because I was mesmerized. I mean, obviously, it's Duke, it's Coach K. You know, the whole championships and the great players. And like I said, the mystique about that Duke versus Carolina, that rivalry, there's only one of them. It's Duke versus Carolina. You know, there's other things like, you know, Red Sox and Yankees and, you know, there's other sports, but Duke versus Carolina is a whole different thing. And so when I went on my visit, small town, Durham, I don't know if you guys, obviously you guys have been in a small town. The academics is top notch. You got to play for a championship. You're going to play for a Hall of Fame legendary coach and learn how to play basketball at the elite level for college basketball. You're going to have a chance to become a pro. You know, if you put the work in, you get a little lucky. You work on your skills, you put the work in, you got a chance to be a pro. There was not one negative thing I could say about Duke for me. And so for me, it was a perfect fit. It was a small town and we were loaded. I mean, we had like Shane Battier and Jay Williams and Mike Dunleavy. We had Chris Carwell. We had Nate James. We had like seven of McDonald's All-Americans. I was like, how can I not join an all-star team in college? I want to be a part of this. So for me, honestly, it seems like a tough decision. But when I went on my visit, I told my mom and dad, I said, Mom, I want to go to school here immediately. I knew right away. Yeah.
I'm happy that you had that clarity because a lot of people, man, we were talking to Marquise Williams, a guy who actually went to Carolina, a football player.
Yeah.
And he said it was the toughest decision of my life. He said, I didn't want to leave, but yet I wanted to go to a great program. He said it was a lot of difficulty. So I'm glad that you had clarity because I'm sure a lot of people struggle with it.
Of course.
All right, Booz. Let's talk Duke UNC. From my count, I was doing a little research last night. You played in 8 Duke UNC games. You only lost once. You only lost once. Duke was ranked in the top 4 in every matchup. What made those Duke teams that you were on so special?
I mean, I'm going to give all my credit to my coach. Congrats, Coach K. One of the things I praise him about to people when they ask me is he has a unique skill to be able to bring people together from all different walks of life. Like, so for us, like I grew up in Alaska. Jay Will grew up in Jersey. Shane Battier is from Michigan. Dunleavy was from Oregon. Like we had all these different guys that are scattered. We finished high school. We think we're the man and the best player on the planet or whatever, because we're getting all these accolades. And he humbles us to a state where we believe that we need the person next to us. Like you need the person next to you to survive. And that's what we had. We had a group of guys that didn't care about whose name was in the paper. We didn't care who scored the most points. We just had fun playing ball together. And honestly, just kicking people's ass. And that's what we did. That to me was the best part about our team is that we literally just enjoyed playing together and we didn't care who the reporters were talking about.
Yeah. I love that, Booz. That's amazing. And that's the mindset that I tried to have at Clemson. And man, we did it. We went out there and knew we were the better team and we were going to put a hurting on some people. Looking at those games, Kelly just mentioned it, 8 of them dominating. Is there a favorite memory that you have in those 8 games, or watching, and then now that you've gotten older and seen a ton of teams come through here, is there a favorite Duke UNC memory that you have?
I mean, growing up, to me, to be honest with you guys, it still stands out today, and I'm 39 years old or whatever, but the Jeff Capel shot at half court, that double overtime game. Now, I know Carolina won the game, but that shot was like one of those moments as a kid, you're like, yo, I want to make a shot like that. I want to be in that game. And then, I know we were 7-8 or whatever in the 8 games that we played, but that team was loaded. They had Ed Cota. Joe Forte was a nightmare for us. I mean, they had big guys. Brendan Haywood was a dominant. I know we won the games, but it was a bad. I remember games that we played at the Dean Dome where at halftime we put so much effort into the game, we had to switch jerseys at halftime. But like, same thing. Every Duke Carolina game I ever played, I had to change my jersey at halftime because it was just drenched. Like, super.
That's amazing.
Soaked. Like, I had just jumped in the pool. Incredible intensity.
Yeah. Booz, that's some serious sweat right there, man. Okay. can you explain what it's like to us normal folks to play in a packed Cameron Indoor during a Duke UNC game? Like, can you even put that into words?
Nah, I mean, like, I remember coming up. Well, okay. So on my visit, I meet Grant Hill, who's like the best Duke player ever. In my opinion, I meet Grant and I think they're playing like, I can't remember if it's UNLV or I can't remember who they're playing, but we go in and they start chanting my name. And I was like this.
17-year-old Booz was sold. Yeah,
just looking around.
I was like, yo, they know me. They know me.
and this is before Twitter and Instagram. Oh, yeah. Like it was probably crazy.
Guys, listen. To all the listeners out there, all your viewers, I'm a dinosaur, okay? This is way before social media ever existed. They knew who I was. And what it is this. So when you come into Cameron Indoor Stadium, it's small. It's not a big arena. You're not going to see 20,000. You're going to see 8,000, 8,500 packed to the brim. fans jumping on the court. You feel the court shaking. Like, I remember playing against, I can't remember, I think his name was Nigel Dixon. He went to Florida State. And he comes on the court, and he's trying to communicate with his coach. He's saying something to his coach. The coach can't hear you, bro. It's too loud in here, bro. You with the crazies, bro.
Come on.
Yeah, like that's what I wanted to be a part of. That's what I got a chance to be a part of. And that I know we got more to talk about, but just to give a quick note to these fans on both sides, the Dukies and the Tar Heels, like all the players, I know it's not the year that you wanted to have when you came to campus as freshmen or whatever it may be, but I want you to tell you, enjoy these moments. These are the games that you will remember for the rest of your lives, 100%.
No doubt about it, man. Yeah. That's amazing to hear. And the energy, again, I'm just picturing myself standing on that court playing in either environment. I mean, with the crazies or at UNC. I mean, I know it's insane there. Looking back on, again, your time playing, was there a guy that UNC had during any of those, you know, 8 games you played in that was just tough and you guys knew going against them, and you may have mentioned it already, but just a guy that, man, you're like, all right, let's go. We have to put on our A game every time whoever is guarding this guy.
Yeah, Ed Cota was a challenge. He was a very good point guard. I think he was one of the assist leaders at that time in the ACC for sure. They had Brendan Haywood. Again, I said his size was incredible. Which you guys probably remember, they had Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
This guy is a defensive nightmare in the NFL.
Right.
But in college, he was doing windmills. But to me, their best player was Joe Forte. I mean, we had a hard time guarding him. I mean, he put up 30 points. It seemed like every game we double-teamed him. He found ways to score. Joe was a phenomenal, phenomenal college player, and he really gave us nightmares every time we played against him. And I will tell you this, though. There's a play – and maybe you guys can tee it up. There's a play where the game is coming down to the wire and Joe has a dunk. Like, he has a breakaway dunk. And Shane, who was our Mr. Every, he was our Swiss Army knife. Shane could do everything on the court. Anything he wanted to do, he could do it. He chases Joe Forte down and kind of like tip blocks the ball from him getting a dunk and literally saved the game with that defensive play. It's one of the most iconic plays in my 3 years in college with the Duke versus Carolina game. If you can tee that, that's one of the best plays I've ever seen. Without fouling him. I'm like, right, Shane, right. Like Superman to me, bro. he was miraculous, man.
He's one of the greatest college players overall, just his overall skill set. Oh, no doubt. Booze, you played for Coach K. We talked about Coach K a little bit at Duke. And then on the 08 Olympic team, we can't forget about that either with your gold medal. Yeah. What have you learned from Coach K over the years?
Yeah, I would say, you know, Coach does a lot of things with integrity. Like, he has a code that he lives by. That started with his mom, you know, where he grew up, at his brothers and sisters, his family. Coach is, he's going to work hard. He's going to push you. He's going to challenge you. He recruits players that want to get better. So what does that mean? That means that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because, you know, we know because we're older, but the younger generation that's listening in on this podcast is the only way to really grow. And anything that you do is to get outside your comfort zone. So he recruits players that are going to be okay with being uncomfortable, because that means he can challenge you and you'll respond to it and you'll get past that marker or that box or you'll get past that mental part that you think you can't get past. And then again, you know, he makes you believe that you need the person next to you. And that to me is the mark of a coach, where, you know, you don't cater to one player. Look, everybody may have a different role. Like, we may have Jay Will may shoot 25 times. Shane may shoot 25 times. But everybody has the same workload. Everybody has to practice the same 3 hours. Everybody got to run the same sprints. Everybody got to go get to campus and beat that 6-mile test to be able to practice on the court. We all got the same rules. And because he has that integrity, he treats every player from 1 to 15. And the walk-ons get treated just like the star players that are going to the NBA. That's what I love the most about Coach K.
That's amazing. And that's, I mean, you just have to appreciate that. And you know, same thing with coaches I've experienced with. Just give people a chance, man. It doesn't matter where you come from, where you start, because we're all at the bottom when we come to Duke or come to Clemson, and we all have to work our way up. So that's incredible. That's incredible to hear. Before we let you go, Booz, I want to dive into some analysis on this year's team. Tell me your thoughts on this year's Duke team. and maybe what's their ceiling? What can they accomplish where you're like, okay, I'm feeling good about what they were able to do?
Yeah, they've had some ups and downs, man. There's, listen, to be quite frank, there's no Trey Jones. There's no Cassius Stanley. This is a young Duke team who has been through some ups and downs trying to find their identity. Coach has done a great job of trying to mix it up, give different guys an opportunity as they try to figure out wins in the ACC. Because this is one of those unprecedented years where you don't have training camps. You're limited practice time. Sometimes you even have – you have to cancel or rearrange games because of COVID and what have you. There's a couple games that coach couldn't even be there for. So they've had a different set of circumstances this year, and that goes for college sports across the board, sports in general across the board. So I take my hat off for them trying to compete through all those different challenges that haven't really been seen before. But they're a young team. They got a lot of talent. They got a couple guys like, you know, Matthew Hurts doing a great job. I think he's second in the ACC in scoring. He needs a little bit more consistent help. You know, I kind of want to call on like a Wendell Moore Jr. And Jalen Johnson has a ton of potential. This kid had the dunk of the season last week.
Oh, dude, man.
Hey, put me in a coffin, put him in a coffin, put Kelly in a coffin. It hurt my soul, dude.
I jumped out my seat. I needed to see him play like that. You know, they have a ton of potential. I think, to me personally, offense comes and goes. You guys know that. Sometimes the ball goes in, sometimes it doesn't. What they need to do is find a consistent defensive identity. Lock down, finish the play with rebounds. If they can do that, they may be able to win the next, you know, 6-7 games against some tough competition. It doesn't get no easier in the ACC. As you guys know, there's some really good teams, Virginia Tech's doing a great job, NC State, all these teams, Florida State, all these teams are very, very good. If this young Duke team can find the defensive identity and be consistent with it, they could come across maybe 5 or 6 out of the last 7 games of the season.
Booze, dead on. We appreciate your time so much. We know you're a busy guy. And I know you'll be locked in on Saturday. You're wearing your Duke blue right now, so I know you'll be locked in.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm wearing Duke blue tonight. We're doing a football show tonight. I'm representing as well. So let's go.
Love that. I appreciate that, E. Thanks,
guys. Right, Booze. Thank you so much, Booze.
Appreciate you, brother.
Seriously, thank you, Booze. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Peace. Talk soon. Thank you, Booze.
All right, that's it from our Traeger Grills Guest of the Week. Big thank you to Carlos Boozer. Just a pleasure talking with him. The stories about who he had to play against, the teams that he was a part of, was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as Kelly and I did. Two basketball savants joined by an all-star gold medalist, NCAA champion. I mean, the guy had done it all. And I also know that that segment makes you guys hungry when you hear about Traeger and when you hear about all the great stuff that I'm cooking on my Traeger here at home. Do yourself a favor and go buy one. And I promise you guys, it'll change your life. Once you buy it, download the Traeger app or go and find them on social media at Traeger Grills. They're always posting fun recipes, fun inspirational things. And really lately, they've been doing a big push on Instagram, just showing you guys a ton of different ways and things that you can do on the Traeger. Kelly, honestly, I find myself just looking at it all the time, daydreaming about what I'm going to cook up next on my 885 Ironwood. That thing is a workhorse. But hey, that's enough about Traeger. I could talk about them all day. Hold on. Oh, sorry.
I just had a vision of, you know, that meme where the guy is in bed and he's over there and he's not paying attention to his wife and his wife's thinking, oh my God, he's thinking about another woman. I'm envisioning that for you and Khaki, but instead you're not thinking about another woman. You are thinking about grilling on your tray. Like, that is the absolute vision.
We need somebody who's listening to make that and to tag me.
I'm going to make it.
Well, there we go. My co-host is going to knock it out. So you guys don't have to try, but that's the case. I think about it all the time. But again, let's go forward. Let's get to our ACC of the week. This is Thursday through Thursday, just so you guys know, our athlete, our coach, our craziness, and it's brought to you by our great friends over at Sunshine Beverages. Kelly, you start, please, with your athlete of the week.
Gladly, Eric McLean. Thank you for the handoff there. My athlete of the week, guys, if you listen to our Tuesday pod, you know I'm obsessed with him, and it's Keve Aluma. Keve Aluma, who I think right now is the ACC player of the year. I'm not knocking Champagny. I'm not knocking these other guys.
Slow down. Come on.
I know. You love Champagny.
Don't take away my guy's thunder.
But look what Keve Aluma did last week. He was named the ACC Player of the Week, and rightfully so. He had 14 points against Notre Dame and 12 boards. Okay, pretty good. Pretty solid in 31 minutes. Double-double, no big deal. But then against Virginia, in one of Virginia Tech's biggest wins as of late, that doesn't include the Villanova win this year or the Michigan State win last year, but biggest ACC win in a while, 29 points and 10 rebounds versus the Wahoos. He was 10 for 15 from the floor. He hit two threes. He was 7 for 8 from the free throw line. I mean, come on. He even had four assists. He had a dunk on Sam Hauser that I think Sam Hauser has gone into hiding. I haven't heard from him recently because Keve Aluma just destroyed him. So my athlete of the week is my current favorite for ACC Player of the Year, Keve Aluma from Virginia Tech.
A great pick. And he had a tremendous week. I think very rightfully so. Your sunshine athlete of the week. My athlete, I'm going to the women's side. Elisa Cunane.
There we go.
Guys, she balled out from NC State. She has not played a basketball game, y'all, since January 3rd. And she casually, in her first game back against the number one team in the country, plays for 30 minutes, leading her team to a 14-point dub. She shot 7 of 9 from the field. No rust at all. She needs to take more breaks like this and come back, apparently, scoring 16 points, 6 boards, and a couple of assists. Truly remarkable performance. She's a difference maker. I'm glad that she was back because there's no doubt that she played a huge part of that victory.
Mac, great pick. She is one of the best players in the country. And it's really interesting because I think that two of the best players in the country both play in the ACC. So it's going to be tough to pick between Dana Evans and Cunane for ACC Player of the Year.
Do you think that she, that head-to-head, now I know also Dana had a crazy game, so maybe I'm answering my own question, but do you think she can push Dana Evans for ACC Player of the Year, or do you think it's already locked up?
She can. She can. I think that Dana is the favorite. I think Dana has a chance to win National Player of the Year. Her numbers are ridiculous. And Cunane's only a junior, whereas Dana's a senior, so some voters will look at it like that. If Louisville somehow loses another game and NC State runs the table, and remember, NC State's only loss is without Cunane. That's a big bump for her because it shows her value. I think it's definitely still a race. I don't think it's that Dana's already won it.
And can you inform our listeners, when is that voting happen? Is it like the Heisman? Do they open it up in October and it's done by, you know, November and you don't get to see everything? Or is it kind of after the tournament, there's a champion or there's an ACC champion crowned? Or when does that voting take place?
We actually vote before the ACC tournament. In normal years, I'm assuming that's going to be the same because they announce a lot of the stuff at the ACC tournament. So this is strictly a regular season award. So keep that in mind. And before the NC State game, I would have said, it's Dana Evans. But now, I think Cunane is definitely still in the running. She's still in the running. And it's impressive because Dana's numbers have been insane. But her value is evident.
No doubt. I love that. And I thought that that was important enough that we needed to have a little intervention there. Now back to regular program scheduling here. Please go on to your Coach of the Week, brought to you by our great friends at Sunshine Beverages.
Oh, man, Mac, that was excellent. All right, my coach of the week is, sticking with the NC State talk, is Wes Moore, the coach at NC State. What some people don't realize, okay, I'm gonna drop a little truth here. This is not something I would probably say on ACC Network, to be honest, but I'll just say it here on the pod. The coach at NC State, when I played, NC State was good. They were middle of the pack. They were always on the bubble, basically. But they missed the tournament my last 2 years. And their coach was Kelly Harper, who is currently the head coach at Tennessee. So NC State fired the woman who is now the head coach at Tennessee and hired Wes Moore and legitimately could win the national championship this year. I think that's pretty crazy. Anyway, Wes Moore, right? Wes Moore's done an incredible job. NC State has had a bunch. They have a lot of tradition in women's basketball. So I don't want to call them a new blood, but they kind of are because they are elite right now. And NC State fans, listen to me, because I think a lot of people, maybe they're just tuning into women's hoops and they're thinking, wow, could they really win a national title? Yes, they could really win a national title. And a lot of that has to do with Wes Moore. He is an excellent coach. I respect the heck out of him. And the fact that he was able to bring his team back from a loss to Virginia Tech and to incorporate Cunane back into the lineup to go on the road where Louisville never loses and blow him out, basically, coach of the week, Mac. He gets that award.
I love it. He was going to be my coach of the week, but I gave you first pick. You stole him from me. So I'm going back to the men's side and choosing a coach who's right now leading a team that is 7-9, 4-6 in ACC play. But Coach Mike Bray, Notre Dame, had a huge week last week. Two massive ACC wins in a row, Pitt and Wake Forest. He obviously didn't shoot any shots, but they won that game by a combined 47 points. Two teams that they just blew them out. And honestly, the most important thing of the week last week, and something that I found out, Coach apparently vowed to Corey Alexander that he is never wearing a suit again to coach basketball. It's been an interesting movement, and I'm going to do another little side road here of the coaches that have come out and just say, look, we don't want to wear it. I, for one, like the look. I love when coaches are dapper and looking clean. I think of the coach from Villanova, always in a clean, Jay Wright. Always in a clean suit. It just looks good, but I could not imagine having to coach a team suited up. I would ruin all my clothes because I just sweat way too much.
You know, that's interesting, Matt, because you are a guy that you put a lot of work into what you wear and you always look sharp. So it's interesting that you don't want, you know, you're okay with coaches doing this, but it's what you said. It's the fact that they're coaching, they're, you know, getting a workout in most of these guys with how they coach, how they're getting up and down, they're moving up and down the bench, whatever. It just does. It seems odd that they're wearing suits. Football coaches don't wear suits.
Could you imagine football coaches still wearing suits? I mean, guys would
be so weird
dead out there. But
and Mike Bray's out here wearing shorts, which is amazing. That's a whole different level.
I support,
he's shorts,
you know, having
games.
A little, you know, leg if you want to on the sideline.
All right, Mac. My craziness of the week has to do with Duke, North Carolina, which we're going to see on Saturday. Two teams that have lost this week, which is kind of crazy. Duke lost to Miami. North Carolina lost to Clemson. And now they're going to go play each other, and they're unranked. But still, this rivalry always delivers. Here is your craziness of the week. Since the 1949-1950 season, North Carolina has scored 13,753 points against Duke, while Duke has scored 13,746 points against North Carolina. That is a difference of just 7 points over 181 games. That is crazy, Mac.
It's insane. It is the definition of crazy. I'm glad that you were able to use this. I did not steal it from you. You used it here. That it's incredible. I mean, every time I see that graphic of wins, which I'm not, you know, right now I should have done a little bit more research, but I'm sure it's close. And then the point differential, as you see here, a 7-point margin, absolutely nuts. Can't wait to see that game. Although I think North Carolina is going to handle business, but then they just, you know, got beat pretty bad by Clemson. So I don't know. It's a
not
coin toss.
Not if they play like they did against Clemson. Not if you put a Mac. Here's my advice for Duke. Okay, put De'Ron Sharp on the free throw line.
Yeah,
That's all I got.
What'd he go? 1-for-6. And it was funny when he was 0-for-5, everybody's like, oh, this is guaranteed rebound. And he drains it. But yeah, he has got to figure that out. My craziness to wrap us up here. I'm going back to NC State. If you guys are keeping track, that is now 3 NC State things on our all ACC of the week.
They deserve
the
it.
NC State women have now beaten 2, not 1, but 2 number 1 overall teams on the road. I get it. It's COVID. It's not normal. Maybe those games don't happen the way they do if it's packed out stadiums, but it's still impressive. You still have to travel. You're not at your own basket. It's a lot different. And so that is so impressive. That team, like you said, Kelly, should be number one. I agree with you. I think they deserve that right. And it'll be interesting to see when that AP poll comes out.
No doubt. That ACC of the week brought to you by Sunshine. Guys, anytime I've had a busy morning and still have a long day ahead of me, which is a lot during hoop season, I want an easy, delicious boost of energy, but I don't want to overload on caffeine. So I grab a can of Sunshine. Let me tell you guys, the sparkling energy waters, they are so light. They taste so good. They have that rare quality where they're light, but they still have flavor. And yes, my taste is back, people. I am going crazy with it. Zero sugar, zero calories, and they come in great flavors like citrus lime, lotus pear, and my personal favorite, and Mac, you started drinking this one.
It's good.
The pomegranate acai. Oh, man. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com and use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. And Mac, we have to mention as well that our podcast today, produced by Richmond Weaver. He did such a great job. Booze joined us on Zoom. And so in full Booze spirit here, he was rolling around in his car. He had stuff to do. I mean, that's what happens. So we got to make sure that audio is sounding good. And Richmond Weaver is our producer. Check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods.
Guys, that's it. What a week it was. Can't wait for this weekend, especially that Duke-North Carolina game. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Gramlich and Mac Lane, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. And thank you guys for listening. If you haven't already, go to over to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, leave us a review. It's always great to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.